We've got exciting news. WVXU is moving. Don't worry, you'll still find us at 91.7, but Cincinnati Public Radio is building a new home near Wasson Way. There are numerous plans to redevelop our current location, but none take into account public radio's needs. More about WVXU's move at cinradio.org/move.
There's something wrong with the plumbing in Cincinnati.
Well, it looks like we're about to have most of the area probably blanketed under severe thunderstorm warnings.
You might not know about it, even if you've lived here your whole life. But the people in charge know about it. Actually, they've known about it for decades. And we're supposed to have fixed it by now.
A year after Hamilton County and Cincinnati leaders thought they'd settled the future of the Metropolitan Sewer District, the deal isn't done.
Billions of gallons of raw sewage ends up in waterways every year. And for some, that raw sewage is a lot closer to home. Wait, scratch that. Some people have actual shit in their homes. This is Backed Up, a podcast from your neighbors at Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Becca Costello, journalist, Cincinnatian, and detective of metropolitan mysteries. Or something like that.
I will do another just quick sound check. Talking about the sewers today.
That's Ella Rowan, podcast producer, fellow detective,
and friend of Becca Costello.
She's going to help me solve this mystery. We're talking about the sewers. For most of us, once we flush the toilet, it's someone else's problem.
That is, until whatever you flushed comes back up.
This is the first big mystery. Sewage ends up in places it doesn't belong way more than it should, in Cincinnati and lots of other cities. So why?
Should we bring in the bulletin board?
Let's do it.
All right, so if movies and TV have taught me anything about mystery solving, it's that we need to put all of our evidence on a bulletin board.
Imagine a dark, windowless room. A cluttered table sits beneath a flickering, bare light bulb. Ella is pouring herself a 10th cup of coffee while I pin newspaper clippings and suspect photos to the bulletin board.
We connect the dots with red yarn, trying to decode dozens of sewer-related acronyms.
EPA.
CSO.
MSD.
CCF.
OPRS.
MSD.
SBA.
SBA.
Ohio EPA.
Okay, so here's what we know. I'm putting up a map of Cincinnati right on the Ohio River. That's where we live.
So the sewer system is run by the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati. And going forward, we're just going to say MSD instead of all of that. MSD also covers most of Hamilton County.
MSD is a wastewater utility. They collect dirty sewage, like what goes down the toilet, industrial waste, like what comes from factories, and a lot of stormwater. That comes from clouds.
They treat it, then release it, squeaky clean, back into waterways like the Mill Creek and the Ohio River. Here's how they describe their work.
The Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati maintains more than 3,000 miles of public sewer. On a typical dry weather day, wastewater from our homes, businesses, and schools flows through the public sewer without problem to one of MSD's seven major wastewater treatment plants. But what happens when it rains?
When it rains, the system can't handle the sudden influx of stormwater.
When it rains harder, even more stormwater can enter the sewers, which can cause the system to become overwhelmed with more flow than it can carry.
Overwhelmed with more flow than it can carry. That means when it rains a lot, all at once, untreated sewage gets backed up.
Hey, that's the name of the show.
Through pipes into people's basements. This is called a sewer backup, or SBU.
Sewer backups.
Right.
Okay, so let's start there. That seems like kind of an urgent problem.
I'm Becca.
This is Ella.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Florence Miller has lived in Cincinnati her whole life. This house, right on the edge of Clifton and North Avondale, was built in 1922. And she's lived here for over 50 years, right now with one of her sisters.
Been retired since 2016. And before that, I was a programmer analyst, you know, from like 1968. And I have two sisters and a brother, and I'm the oldest of the four. I've traveled pretty much as a world. I've been to 25 countries.
Oh, wow.
Ridden on the Trans-Siberian Railroad and walked the Great Wall of China, been to the Galapagos Islands, Iceland. So, yeah, I've been fortunate to be able to do that.
But you've always stayed in Cincinnati as your home base. So why is that? What do you love about Cincinnati that kept you here?
It was family. You know, we're all here within 10 miles of one another, so.
It's really the best definition of home, right?
Right. Yeah. Like the Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home, right?
It's a twister!
Actually, it was a thunderstorm on a rainy August night in 2016.
It was a Sunday night. I think it was a Sunday night.
Torrents of rain falling from the sky, collecting on concrete and asphalt, creating the perfect flash flood storm.
Florence had just retired. She was sitting at home watching what she thought was a typical Midwest storm roll in. But when she went down the basement stairs to check on her cat, Gabriel, she realized this storm was different.
Did you know that it was sewage?
Oh, yeah. When it's coming out of the drain down there, it's sewage.
Did it smell?
Oh, yeah. The stench was terrible.
Dirty water was gushing up through the floor drains, and it was rising fast.
I mean, it was up to our waist when we were wading through, and it's like if we would have fallen down, we would have drowned. I've never seen anything like that in my life. You know, and I'm in my late 70s, so...
Florence showed us piles of pictures she'd saved from the day of the storm.
We have a whole bunch, but this is the one that was on the newspaper. That's my car.
Oh my God. That photo was wild. The water nearly covered the hood of her car.
The headline, by the way, above this.
Oh, storm of the century, right. Because here's the backyard. That's the backyard.
It's just a pond.
Yeah. And I'm just glad Gabriel wasn't down in the basement at the time. Because he would have died.
Gabriel the cat was thankfully not in the basement that night. But Florence stored lots of meaningful things down there, like family keepsakes.
We lost my great aunt's credenza down there. We lost that, and we lost my mother's wicker needlepoint basket. And we lost some personal Christmas ornaments, you know, because everything was just toppled over.
The list of damages was long.
Oh, yeah, this was the dryer.
Was that ruined?
Oh, yeah, the dryer and the washer and the water heater, the furnace, the air conditioner, the dehumidifier. Yeah, there's a gazillion pictures.
Oh, wow. It almost looks like a tornado, like tornado damage. Right.
But then, too, the gas was leaking, you know, from the furnace. Everything was destroyed.
Were you aware of issues with the sewer system or anything before this happened to you?
No. I mean, that would be the farthest thing from anybody's mind, really. Yeah.
Florence said the water went down within a couple of hours, but the damage stayed behind.
The morning after the storm, she actually saw a couple of MSD workers down the street.
And I thought, they're coming over here, and they're going to see this, and they're going to say it's, you know, sewage backup. And they're going to give me a work order.
She marched over there and just stood waiting for them to finish and then demanded an inspection. And it worked. They came over and took responsibility.
It was draining to do this, you know, because we were trying to clean out everything, plus, you know, itemize everything and then put it in a spreadsheet that you could submit to them. I mean, it took months.
When MSD causes a sewer backup, they're supposed to cover the cleaning costs.
You know, then I submitted the claim for the cleaning because it was mold and mildew mediation, and then the fans to dry everything up. Oh, then the MSD wasn't paying him. And then he came over one Saturday and said, I'm going to put a lien on your property. I said, oh, no, you're not. You know, it's like, that's not my problem. You need to deal with MSD.
So when you first submitted your itemized claim, what was the total amount that you ended up with that you would need to pay?
It was $22,000. Come on. That was quite a lump sum of money, you know, and like people couldn't afford to finance that kind of thing either. Fortunately, I could, you know, but it took over a year to pay everything off.
I just keep picturing Florence wading through all of that water in her basement looking for her cat. And I hate it.
Right, and think about what raw sewage actually means. We're talking bacteria, other hazardous substances that can be pretty dangerous to come into contact with.
And like, she didn't swallow any of the water, but imagine if she had. She easily could have tripped and fallen.
And Florence wasn't the only one with a flooded basement that night. The 2016 storm ended up being one of the worst in decades. There were sewer backups and flooding all over the city.
So let's get back to the bulletin board. We have our first newspaper clipping here. Storm of the century with that photo of Florence's car.
We've got a definition for MSD, Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati, and SBU, sewer backup.
Awesome. So I think now it's time to talk about the other big sewer problem.
And the other big acronym. It's this thing called a CSO.
So sorry to disappoint. In this case, CSO does not stand for Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. It actually stands for Combined Sewer Overflow.
Right. Just like a sewer backup, combined sewer overflows are caused by the sewer system, well, overflowing, but on a much bigger scale.
Imagine Florence's sewer backup, but times 1,000. And instead of basements, billions of gallons of raw sewage is dumped into creeks and rivers. That's a CSO.
And this happens because Cincinnati has what's called a combined sewer system. In a combined sewer system, everything we flush down the toilet or pour down the kitchen drain goes into a pipe under the street. And then all the rainwater that pours through storm drains and the gutters, all of that goes into the same pipe. Hence the combined and combined sewer system. It's a combination of both sewage and rainwater. And that's why the system is so easily overwhelmed when there's a large rain event.
By the way, lots of cities have combined sewer systems like this, mostly in the Northeast and around the Great Lakes. Detroit, Cleveland, Columbus, Louisville, Indianapolis.
Some of the largest cities in the U.S. have at least partially combined sewer systems. New York, D.C., Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Boston, Chicago.
It's a lot less common outside the Northeast and Midwest, but there are a couple of outliers. Nashville, Atlanta, Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco.
According to the EPA, about 700 U.S. cities have combined sewers. It's pretty common in Europe, too. According to the United Kingdom's Environment Agency, all the sewage utilities in England are combined with stormwater.
So all of these cities have systems that dump raw sewage into waterways almost any time it rains. And this is exactly how they designed it. So why?
We're going to have to nerd out a little more, Ella.
I went to the river. Couldn't get across. I jumped on your papa cause I thought it was a horse. Now I rode him over, give him a Coca-Cola, now my soda, sauce of ice cream, take soap and water for to keep it clean.
I'm Jack Rennekamp, and I'm both a 40-year now retired employee of the city of Cincinnati, 33 years at the Metropolitan Sewer District, as well as a historian by training and education.
Jack is a history nerd. He's also a sewer nerd. So basically the perfect person to explain why Cincinnati's sewer system is so darn wacky.
Cincinnati made a deliberate choice. In fact, in middle to late 19th century, so from 1850 to roughly 1875, they made a deliberate choice to build combined sewers.
Lots of people were moving from rural areas to urban areas. That's a lot more people in a much smaller space, generating a lot more waste.
And there were more hard surfaces. So instead of rain falling on grass or dirt and soaking into the soil, rain was falling on brick and cobblestone and collecting in streets. So residential areas downtown started flooding.
You have to think about it from a 19th century standpoint. You didn't have automobiles. You didn't have pollution from gasoline. You had pollution from what? Animals. So you had horse droppings, you had cow droppings, you had everything that was used to transport people through urban centers before there was a mechanical way to do it. And that was handled in part by the storm sewers that existed at the time. Cincinnati early city engineers made a conscious decision to build a combined sewer system, not only reflecting cost, but also reflecting benefit. You were capturing everything that you needed to capture, everything that was possibly going to pollute a portion of the city.
By the early 1900s, Cincinnati had sewers, but no treatment plants. Everything got dumped into the nearest body of water, including the Ohio River.
One of the mantras of 19th century sanitary engineering was, the solution to pollution is dilution. What did the Ohio have? It had a fast-moving river. Of course, there were no locks or dams at this time, and you would discharge sewage into the river, and it would be out of sight, out of mind.
The solution to pollution is dilution.
It's so catchy, it must be true.
It kind of is, but dilution only goes so far.
Research at the new U.S. Public Health Sanitary Engineering Center is vital if our rivers are to serve a growing population and industrial plant. Cincinnati learned the hard way the importance of maintaining water quality along the river that is literally its life. In 1930 and 1931, severe outbreaks of intestinal disorders occurred in cities that used the river for drinking water.
The idea of having sewage go into the Ohio River was also detrimental because where did Cincinnatians get their drinking water from? The Ohio River.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's Deuces, your host and creator of the Art of series, a multimedia series comprised of episodes that translate our journey of a deeper dive into understanding the world of creatives and entrepreneurs through immersive experiences with documentary-like visuals, original music, music videos, and in-depth conversational podcast pieces. But it's safe to say this is more than a podcast. With Cincinnati Public Radio, listen wherever you get your podcasts or at cinradio.org. Deuces.
This week on Looking Up, I talk with John Linnell from the eclectic and scientifically minded band They Might Be Giants.
Are you still trying to pin me down on this nerd thing?
Hey, what is this? What is this podcast anyway?
John Flansburgh and I have spent the last 40 years doing something that we felt should just be whatever we like, and that's kind of been the guiding principle of They Might Be Giants.
Looking Up is available where you listen to podcasts and WVXU.org.
Some basic treatment facilities were built starting in the early 20th century. And at this point, they're still just taking out the worst of the worst.
So like the chemicals being dumped into the Mill Creek by all of the factories.
And then in 1948, Congress passed the Federal Water Pollution Control Act. And this is a really big deal. It's the first federal legislation dealing with water pollution on a national level.
And now there's this growing concept of the environment as something important that should be protected instead of conquered.
In 1962, one of the seminal environmental books was released, Silent Spring, about the effect of pollution on wildlife and nature.
Rachel Carson is actually one of my favorite authors. She was an American marine biologist, conservationist, and general badass. She wrote Silent Spring to explain why people should care about the environment.
Now, to these people, apparently the balance of nature was something that was repealed as soon as man came on the scene. Well, you might just as well assume that you could repeal the law of gravity.
Like, how cool is she?
Okay, Rachel Carson is pretty cool.
Right.
Meanwhile, back in Ohio,
the State Board of Health was doing various surveys within the city of Cincinnati looking at the health of creeks and streams, as well as the Ohio River. So that became a precursor to MSD and the county and the city saying, collaboratively, we need to solve these issues.
This is a big moment for the bulletin board. In 1968, Cincinnati and Hamilton County officials decided to join forces and create the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati.
MSD connected the existing sewer system in Cincinnati together to dozens of other sewer systems in some of the suburban communities. But in order to accomplish this, MSD had to agree on a political structure.
This agreement, referred to as the 1968 Agreement, was that the city would operate the system while the county would own it and control the budget. That same basic structure is still in place now, over 50 years later. We'll talk a lot more about the 1968 agreement later on.
Some light foreshadowing.
So the 1960s are almost over. The general public is starting to care about the environment. MSD forms. And then...
The Cuyahoga River in Ohio is so loaded with the waste products of petroleum distillation that it is actually in danger of catching fire.
In 1969, not long after MSD was created, an oil slick caught fire on the polluted Cuyahoga River in northern Ohio, and it sparked a nationwide campaign to do more to protect our waterways.
In response to growing climate consciousness nationwide, the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, was established in 1970, and President Nixon signed the Clean Water Act into law in 1972.
Each of us all across this great land has a stake in maintaining and improving environmental quality. We can make 1972 the best year ever for environmental progress. The time has come for man to make his peace with nature.
And that fixed everything, right?
I guess part of the frustration and challenge of working in this area is you can have a law and say, by 1985, we'll be fishable and swimmable across country. And it doesn't happen.
Meet Marilyn Wall, longtime Cincinnatian and even longer time advocate for the environment.
Marilyn spends most of her time enjoying the great outdoors and working to protect it.
It was a lot tougher in the early days, even after the Clean Water Act. Marilyn and many other volunteers canvassed neighborhoods to tell people what was wrong with the sewers and try to get political support for fixing it.
Things moved very slowly in those years to try to get improvements in things that, you know, really matter to citizens who are affected by environmental issues. And certainly there weren't politicians running around saying, gee, let's raise sewer rates and fix all these. You know, there are more exciting things to get your name in the paper about. Fixing a sewer line is not going to make you famous and get you reelected, but it's still pretty important, you know. When it fails pretty bad.
What happens next is a little confusing. So let's put this on a timeline on our bulletin board of madness. In 1994, the EPA created the Combined Sewer Overflow Control Policy. It required cities with combined sewer systems, like Cincinnati, to reduce the amount of raw sewage getting dumped in waterways.
Fast forward to 2000, MSD still hadn't come up with a plan to accomplish that.
You know, it became apparent to us that nothing was going to happen unless we tried to take it to another level of pressure to get this to happen.
That pressure took the form of a lawsuit. The Sierra Club filed notice of intent to sue under the Clean Water Act, giving MSD 60 days to respond.
And then there's also the US EPA and Ohio EPA have a chance to do something in that time frame. And what they did was they filed a complaint and a consent decree. It was called the Interim Partial Consent Decree at the last minute to keep us from filing. And we became interveners in the case.
And get this. Marilyn is the only named person in this lawsuit, and one of just a handful of the original people still working on this issue today.
Now, the federal courts are involved. A judge is helping the city, the county, and MSD negotiate how to move forward. But it's not all resolved yet, because MSD is now under federal orders to dramatically reduce combined sewer overflows so they can be in compliance with the Clean Water Act. It took 4 years to finalize this order, called a global consent decree.
Do we have to do an acronym for that one?
No, thank God.
Then, the EPA had to approve a plan for specifically how MSD would reduce sewer overflows. That took another 6 years. That means the first phase of work on the consent decree started in about 2010, almost 15 years after the EPA first started regulating sewer overflows, and decades after groups like the Sierra Club first started advocating for change.
The first phase of the consent decree work actually just recently wrapped up in 2021, and it cost over $1 billion. In 2009, MSD was dumping about 14 billion gallons of untreated sewage into waterways every year. Now it's an average of about 6 or 7 billion gallons. Which is definitely progress.
Progress that took a long time.
It seemed to me that this was something that could have been accomplished, you know, in 20 years, roughly. And of course, we've learned a lot more about just how much the system needed other upgrades and repairs as well. So it's kind of been hit by two problems that cost a lot of money.
So MSD is trying to retrofit a century and a half old sewer system to come into compliance with the Clean Water Act. Plus, it costs a lot of money just to keep the system running.
So our bulletin board has gotten pretty crowded already. We have untreated sewage backing up into people's homes, also getting dumped into waterways.
We know both of those things are caused by the city's combined sewer system, and we know MSD is not in compliance with the Clean Water Act, and that's why there's a consent decree that's supposed to force improvements.
We know there's been some progress, over $1 billion spent, and a lot less raw sewage being dumped.
But we also know it's not fixed, and there's still a really long way to go.
So usually these mysteries have a clear bad guy, right? It's a monster of the week, the villain that we unmask at the end of every episode. I just don't think this is going to be that easy.
We asked Florence, who has literally waded through sewage water in her basement, who she thinks the villain is.
It's MSD. I mean, they keep pointing the finger at, you know, everybody else. It's overland flooding. And then the judge, Barrett, you know, the federal judge with the compliance of the Clean Water Act. I mean, it's just a mess. You know, you got the city, the county, the federal courts, and EPA is in there too. So I don't, you know, they're all villains, you know, when it comes to, you know, really helping people that need the help because of the incapacity of the sewer systems.
Florence listed several suspects there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common feeling among people who've had to deal with these issues, especially a sewer backup at home.
What about Marilyn, the only person named in the lawsuit attempting to fix all of this?
Is there a villain in this story? You know, who's the bad guy?
Well, I think that's part of what's amazing about it, because nobody's in favor of sewage in basements. Nobody really wants to walk down to a creek and smell sewage. There's nobody who wants it run this way, but there's just a lot of don't raise sewer rates. There's not really a villain, you know, and that seems really weird, I guess, because, you know, I think maybe part of the villain is the 1968 agreement that this didn't make it clear who is responsible and who's accountable. And the whole governance of the MSD is a huge issue, just simply because there's really nobody in charge when everybody's in charge.
So Maryland's suspect is the 1968 agreement.
Right. So remember, that's when Cincinnati and Hamilton County agreed to create MSD in the first place, which sounds like a good idea, but it's actually caused a bit of drama over the years.
Next time on Backed Up.
Something has to change from a political standpoint.
It creates some dysfunction, some communication issues related to MSD. So it's a cumbersome relationship.
If the parties are not able to stop the finger pointing and work collaboratively, the court will be forced to implement more draconian measures.
Why? Why did you think you had the authority to do that?
This is offensive. This is upsetting.
Backed Up is a Cincinnati Public Radio podcast, produced with support from PRX and made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.
Backed Up is reported and produced by Becca Costello, that's me, and Ella Rowan, with support from Casey Kuhn.
Thanks to everyone who helped put this episode together and bring it to life. Tana Weingartner, Jen Merritt, Ronnie Salerno, Zach Carrion, Marshall Verbsky, Brittany Matey, Kevin Reynolds, and Leslie Smith.
Marianne Zalesnik is our VP of News. Janelle Walton is our VP of Content. Nicole Tiffany made our podcast cover art.
Special thanks to Sam Ransahoff, Tony Carlson, Grace Abler, Stephanie Kuo, and Mike Russo.
Go to wvxu.org/backedup to find a transcript of this episode, plus lots of pictures and extra info.
Basically everything except the smell of the sewers. Good enough.
Beautiful.
No. Hello, Mother. Can we go to Louisville?
I took a shit today, my friends. It went into the same pipe as the rain.